PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I decided we managed to mix everything down, and you're still here.
So, might as well.
Let's just get it done.
It's fine.
And we were having a good conversation. We're on a roll. We're having a better conversation than we did on episode 295, which was a lot of fun with Coco. We appreciate Coco coming on. So now we just dabbed it up pretty hardcore.
Got these busted-ass headphones.
They broke, man.
Well, it's the plastic. See, I mean, I've got to put it back together, but there's a piece of plastic that's obviously missing that was keeping the headphone on.
Damn it. Dude, we have now, Pedro brought these cheap Behringers, and we have these as well, these Sonys that are over there on the chair. So yeah, headphone options.
The pinkies, man.
I know, they're classic. We'll fix them. I'm just saying for recording right now. We won't take any pictures. Oh, that's not my phone. That's my
phone. I don't need headphones. It's a bonus episode. There's no musical cues.
That's true.
It's just you and me anyway.
That's true. I don't even have the soundboard plugged in.
Exactly. So who cares?
Just make sure.
I'm cool.
Just make sure you're talking to the microphone.
Oh, yeah. I'm just right here, man.
Yeah, we were just talking about like tabletop games and shit. I never got into those games.
I was heavy into D&D when I was a kid. And
which is a version. It's like without the tabletop.
Just
that's the...
due to the fact that... You know, as long as you, with an RPG like that, because, you know, this is pre-internet, this was pre-cell phone, you know, like, there were guidelines for how to build your character, and as long as you built your character according to those guidelines and kept that piece of paper, anybody who was playing Dungeons & Dragons, if you were there, you could use your character as long as you had them. So, I had, you know, playing... through, I had the same character from like age 7 to 18, so you know, there I actually gained some experience and at the end could do some kind of cool stuff, but it was still, you know, all imagination and in my head. And by the time high school was around, I mean, I was playing video games, I didn't even play, my imagination was shot.
But people still play those games, though.
Oh, yeah, to this day, some people try, dude.
The indie is still very popular.
My buddy was like, hey, I got a friend who plays. He wants us to come over because he, you know, me and my buddy used to play. He was like, okay, cool. I didn't know how deep, like, these people were into D&D. Yeah. And, like, me and my buddy Eric, we showed up looking like you and me. You know, I've got a t-shirt and jeans. You got a t-shirt and slacks, whatever.
I'm wearing my flamingo shirt.
We walk in, and these motherfuckers are in full costume.
Yeah.
The warrior has got a fucking sword and is wearing armor.
That's awesome.
The mage has got a robe and a staff.
So they're LARPing.
But this was before...
That's what it is, though. So, okay, so they're ahead of the curve.
This was pre-LARPing.
Yeah, because they're dressing up. But are they...
They were just dressing up to sit around a table.
But then, as they sit around the table, are they like, okay, Gary, it's on you? Or they're like, it is now me, Lord.
Oh, no, they just talk. They talk
They talk normal. Right. Okay. Yeah, so it's a weird... It is pre-LARPing. Wow.
But they just... But, yeah.
But it's live action, but not. But they're playing a role-playing game.
It was Dungeons & Dragons. They just decided to dress up as their character as they were playing it.
It's not live action then. So the difference then between LARPing and cosplay is that cosplay is just... You just dressed up as the character, which is what you're describing.
Yeah.
LARPing is you're living out as a character by a set of rules. So they're doing cosplay RPG. They're doing... Instead of LARPing, they're doing swooping.
Either way.
So yes, swooping.
I had never seen that before, and I was kind of taken back, and I was like, whoa, these people are really serious about this. I am not that into it.
That's
really like, cool. I mean, I'm kind of into it. Obviously, I'm here, but I'm not... Wow.
Not that deep.
That's when we go from nerd to super nerd.
That's when I go from, like, I'm a fan of old school wrestling, and I meet someone, I'm like, hey, I like wrestling, Coco Beware, yeah, Jimmy Snuka, et cetera, et cetera. And then... And then they're like, it's still real to me, man. And they start crying. You're like, no, it's not real. No,
relax, I mean, it is real, but it's not real.
It's just entertaining, though. Yeah. Just like, relax, dude. Like, oh, that's what you're talking about. Those are people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Slurpers. They're slurpers, Drew. Oh, my God. I turned the camera on. That's a terrible
might
picture.
Take a picture.
That was a terrible picture. It was really bad. I would not post that picture.
Posted.
A true narcissist will not post the worst selfies, only the best ones.
So you're a true narcissist.
I'm working on it. I mean, like Lex Luger, remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I did.
Speaking of wrestling.
Yeah. Lex Luger.
Yeah. He was the one who was with Miss Elizabeth when she died. Mm. At like 3 a.m. over a plate of spaghetti.
Mm.
Some sort of pasta.
Whatever.
I don't have the exam. Welcome to Cinema Crespity. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Justin Cogburn, Drew. Dun dun.
Now your own soundboard.
I mean, I know what the sounds
you're
are.
You're doing
people who listen to the show
pre soundboards.
People who listen to the show a lot know what the sounds are. People who are listening for the first time probably have stopped listening right now.
Definitely.
Because they're like, this is trash.
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute, Cinema Crespity. So they're talking about Dungeons and Dragons. What the fuck is going on?
We're gonna have to up our game soon, but in the meantime, I do have some stories here.
Some.
This one's kind of interesting.
A few.
The First Man trailer is pretty good.
Half a dozen.
First Man.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling. Has,
it looks like somebody's going for an Oscar.
Oh, for sure. Well,
this is definitely like a prestige piece.
Well, Damien Chazelle, who did
Chazelle,
who did Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
He, when he made that movie and he met with, just kidding Simmons, he told him, half jokingly, half real, he's like, with this movie, like, I want to get you your Oscar.
Boom.
16 months later, Oscars, 18 months later, in J.K. Simmons is accepting the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in a movie with Whiplash. The movie after that, Damien Chazelle makes his La La Land, gets nominated for a whole bunch of stuff, wins Best Director, not Best Picture.
Yeah.
So Chazelle has only made these... I don't even think he made anything before Whiplash. And already he's like, he's making movies and they're just like connecting with people in a way that they're already in the discussion.
Yeah.
So then him making a movie about Neil Armstrong, about a huge moment in American history and giving it the gravitas that no one else has really given it. Yeah, for sure. That's like swinging for Oscar gold. Maybe front runner possible. Crespo Damas,
we'll see.
You know, we'll keep an eye on that one. February 2019. No. Unfortunately, we'll be seeing awards for art. In the meantime, though, it has to get through this phony outrage bullshit, which I'm sure
outrage
over the Americanness of this whole endeavor.
But that's, I mean, okay. Unfortunately. Kind of sign of the times. I mean, that we were in the middle of the Cold War. The Russians had beat us to space. Like, we had to fucking do this.
It's 100% it is a very much an American endeavor. I am currently reading Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff, which is about the birth of the space program.
Oh, you mean when we grabbed the dudes who bombed the shit out of the world from the Nazis and then made them take us to the moon?
It's actually... Oh, you mean scientists?
Yeah.
We definitely use the scientists. I mean, the Right Stuff, is, at least so far as I've read in the book, and the same way it is in the movie, focuses on the pilots and the astronauts themselves.
Nah.
Man, it's a great read. It's so good.
Yeah, Hitler's rocket program took us to the moon. Just saying that.
Fuck yeah, man. I mean, he had all that money. He threw all that money into it. All that gold. Let me see here. So... The movie played at the Venice Film Festival. That's where it debuted, actually. And I'm trying to find exactly the bullshits that they say. Because it is a bunch of bullshits. That someone says that they omitted. From the screen, they reported that the film takes out Neil Armstrong, planting the American flag and being like, "This is for America," and then shooting off fireworks and then
coming
Hooters,
all over the place,
and then having Hooters waitresses coming out and giving him chicken wings while he jizzes, and then the jizzes, and since it, you know, practically zero G, because then it floats away, and then it forms the word, the letters USA as it floats away. People are outraged that first man doesn't show this factual happening.
That's, I mean,
so essentially they're saying that that they're wiping away the Americanness, that it doesn't show him planting the flag. And then also they throw out one, it is, you know how it works these days, all it takes is one blog post, one video, one whatever, to get a bunch of people all stirred up. So someone put out saying that the Venice Film Festival, that this movie played, that they don't show him planting the flag, and then it adds this Ryan Gosling quote from The Telegraph: "I think this was widely regarded in the end as a human achievement, and that's how he chose to view it. Also, I think Neil was extremely humble, as were many of these astronauts, and time again, he deferred the focus from himself to the 400,000 people who made the mission possible." So then that was used for the hashtag boycott first man. Senator douchebag from Florida known as Marco Rubio, who is just one of the absolute worst people in the world, actually tweeted, it's from Business Insider, about Business Insider, you know, where I go to write movie news, Business Insider. Their tweet was, "Neil Armstrong movie First Man, amidst the American flag being planted on the moon, and star Ryan Gosling defended the decision. I don't think that Neil viewed himself as an American hero," read with a quote. Marco Rubio retweets that, "This is total lunacy and a disservice at a time when our people need reminders of what we can achieve when we work together to America, be a blah, 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 blah. I'm a douchebag." That quote about Ryan, that Ryan Gosling said to The Telegraph about how, you know, American, he didn't see himself as an American hero, that's because someone asked him, not about the American flag. Someone said, "Hey, Ryan Gosling, you're Canadian. What do you think about playing an American hero as a Canadian?" Well, how else is Ryan Gosling? What do you want him to say? Drew, give me an answer,
out of
please.
Put on
your PR hat. Yeah, it's a quote taken out of context. Well, context, correct.
Well, not even taken out of context. Switched context completely. They are claiming that this answer comes from a different question.
Yes, about something about trying to do this American flag thing. But it's him trying to defend, as a Canadian, playing as an American hero. So stupid, right? Mm. Hashtag no borders.
Man. I mean, if anybody knows anything about Neil Armstrong, I mean, kind of a weird guy after he came back.
Well, yeah. But leaving your planet and then coming back will do that to you.
Yeah.
Being the first to do it.
It changed him. He's, and then at the end of his life, he kind of...
You what?
I'm not sure if he went. Maybe I'm not sure if he like achieved clarity or just didn't give a fuck anymore. Yeah, dude. I mean, he was fucking. He was on a couple of those Ancient Aliens TV shows.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know what he saw? He saw the finger of the programmer who was typing out the keys to make the simulation happen. So, so people are using this boycott first man hashtag to be all mad about it, being like, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, other people who are seeing this shit are pointing out that actually, as a matter of fact, the movie First Man, while it doesn't show him planting the flag, does show the flag in numerous shots. The American flag is in the movie. It's there. There's no denying that it's like an American thing. It's a bunch of silliness.
Fucking retards.
It's phony outrage.
I mean, that really is like the thing that is in vogue right now.
Phony outrage?
Yes.
The realest of things.
Being completely pissed off about shit that does not matter at all.
Yeah, what are you writing over there?
Sorry. Coloring.
Oh, you're coloring.
I was trying to see how well these markers worked.
They work okay. You gotta write with a certain way to like get it to come out good.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
The silver
one. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
The silver one works best, but the gold one and bronze ones are okay.
Oh.
See, right?
See, there you go, Chris.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. Come on, Sharpie, get your shit together. This episode brought to you by Sharpie. Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Has dropped out of the Joker movie.
He was in the Joker movie?
For that long, exactly. As Thomas Wayne. But the thing was, apparently Thomas Wayne is going to be portrayed as a dumb New York businessman.
Well, I mean,
i.e. Donald Trump.
He was supposed to be dumb, but he was definitely a New York businessman.
They were going to portray him as like a Donald Trump type of character.
Oh, that's kind of lame.
And that's why they still are going to portray him as that. But Alec Baldwin has dropped out. Alec Baldwin said, quote, "I'm sure there are 25 guys who can play that part," end quote. Not really giving much validation to what's on the page there. You know, kind of a backhanded way to leave. He said it was scheduling conflicts, but it sounds more like creative differences.
Maybe he thought in his head, "Oh, I'm going to play Thomas Wayne," and then he found out what Thomas Wayne what was they, in what this
they,
film.
What they really wanted, he's like, "No, this sucks. I don't want to do this."
Yeah.
Meanwhile, let's see. Let's update people on the cast. We have not only is Joaquin Phoenix the Joker, we have Robert De Niro as a talk show host, Mark Maron as a booking agent for that show. Sassy Bates as the single mother who strikes up a relationship with young Joker, and Frances Conroy as the Joker's mama.
The more
Joker mama.
Like, I heard Joaquin Phoenix, Martin Scorsese, Joker, and I'm like, okay, cool. And
Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover.
All of these things, I'm like, cool.
And The Hangover for
the more I hear about this movie, Chris, I feel like it.
Really? Yeah, I'm still on the fence about it. It's going to be cheap and R-rated, so that's all I care about. October of next year. October 4th, 2019. We'll find out what The Joker is all about.
Interesting.
Let's get some deets on A Quiet Place 2.
Dose.
It's happening, Drewster.
I know, I heard.
You ready for it?
I mean, sure. I'll tell you what, I'm not like...
You're not ready for it.
I'm not like holding my breath like, oh fuck, when's it coming out? Like, I can't wait. Like, it'll be here when it comes out, and I'll watch it when it gets here.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that will be approximately May 15th, 2020. They already picked a release date.
That's a long time.
Less than two years. That means John Krasinski has to get to writing to make this thing. Because a movie like this takes about a year and a half to 2 years to make.
If there's no script.
We need a script.
Are you sure he hasn't already written it?
I don't think he has. Because they would have said, oh, Krasinski has a script. They would have reported. Hollywood Reporter revealed that it's the production timeline is summer release of 2020. The first one was made for $17 million, made $330 worldwide. Krasinski, for sure, is writing. Not sure if he's actually directing.
Interesting.
I mean, speaking of sequels, Top Gun 2.
Dos.
Also has a 2020 release date, so we have A Quiet Place 2, May 2020. Top Gun 2, June 2020. Same summer.
Interesting.
Same summer. Now, the movie was originally supposed to be a little movie called Spider-Man: Far From Home. Actually, it's going to be Spider-Man: Far From Home.
Hyphen Man: Far From Home.
Spider-Man: Far From Home. And it's going to be the first Marvel after Avengers 4.
Oh.
And then shortly after that was going to be... and then right after that is The Lion King.
Oh, the live action one?
And then right after that is Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, goddamn. Wow.
So when is Top Gun 2 supposed to come out there?
I don't think it...
That's right.
Does it have time?
That's why it moved to the next summer, where it's competing with Mark Wahlberg's $6 Billion Man.
Which, never heard of, don't care about.
His remake of the TV show. We've talked about it on the show very briefly.
I don't remember.
The movie version of Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights, which, it's a musical audience, it's a different audience.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an untitled DC movie coming out that summer.
Untitled?
Unspecified. Interesting. As well as Pixar. Should have a movie come out that summer, but they could always move that to November. They haven't released a title. And there's also supposed to be a Fox Marvel movie, but what the whole Disney thing throws that out of whack.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So that's why they went ahead and pushed Top Gun 2 out to the following summer. Top Gun: Maverick.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, 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 bum. So Hereditary, you know, we talk about the cinema score and yes. how like Mother had an F cinema score.
Uh-huh.
Hereditary, even though it's amazing, Hereditary has like a D minus cinema score.
I mean, I guess I understand why.
Do you understand why?
No. I thought that movie was amazing. I give it an A plus, especially the ending. Woo!
The actor Alex Wolff, the one who plays his son, someone asked him about how the movie measures up to stuff like Rosemary's Baby.
Didn't he claim PTSD after filming this?
He did. Yes. Here's a quote from him. I think if you start looking at a movie like Hereditary in terms of scores and percentages, that's going to drive you crazy, because that's not really what it's about. It's Rosemary's Baby. If Rosemary's Baby probably had percentages and cinema score in the 70s or The Exorcist, people would have given it an F minus and whatever amount of
I have no idea what that was. That was me, sorry.
Who's trying to get in Trooster's pants at 5 on a Sunday? He goes on to say, I think the difference between a movie like A Quiet Place, because people ask him, how come A Quiet Place is a horror movie that made a bunch of money and people liked it? How come people didn't like Hereditary? He says, I think the difference, even though nothing is similar, one of the main differences is A Quiet Place gives you an inspirational, puffy feel at the end. It's a fun movie. I wouldn't call it very dark. I would call it really fun and fun scary, where Hereditary kind of crawls in your bones and sits there and just kind of eats at your every paranoia and fear. A lot of people look at horror movies as escapism, and I think Hereditary does the opposite. I think Hereditary stops you. It makes you answer for everything you've ever felt terrified about or deeply upset about. So you walk in there, I'm sure audiences just wanted to be brought out of the world they're in, and they didn't have the patience for a movie building it up and making you feel for these characters. There you go. That's the son actor on Hereditary and Reception.
Mm-hmm. It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
Looking forward to rewatching. It's not a video podcast. People can't see what
no,
you
No, they
did.
Can't. No, Chris, that was for you.
That was just for us in the room here. Just
that was
for
you,
us.
Buddy. That one was for you.
Did you know that? First off, did you know HBO was even like still making episodes of Taxi Cab Confessions and Real Sex and that kind of like adult programming?
Really, they're still doing that like After Dark shit.
Apparently, they were still doing that After Dark shit.
Oh, they were.
They just recently, very recently, announced that they're canceling all of that.
Oh wow! That was. I thought that was just like an early 2000s thing.
Even 90s.
Oh, really?
No, 90s.
I didn't even get access to HBO
It was around in college. It was around in the 90s for sure. But it was for sure pre-internet porn, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Pre-readily available mm-hmm. porn. They had recently announced, we're done. We're getting out of all this stuff. There's X amount of hours in a day. We have all this other programming. We don't need this late night of programming anymore. Our viewership, our ratings, the numbers that we have prove it, that the stuff, people just aren't accessing it anymore.
Well, they get it somewhere else. And they get better quality.
They're getting stuff somewhere else, so we're done with it. But someone, Drew, is swooping in to save these shows. Someone, Drew...
Skinamax?
No! You would think so. Man, that'd be a good fit. Because they're still doing their Skinamax thing. They'll never reach the heights of HBO. No, Drew, someone is swooping in, offering to continue producing shows like Taxi Cab Confessions and Real Sex. And it makes sense to put it, they do it on their streaming platform. You just pay the monies and you get it along with everything else they have. I am talking about none other than, of course, Drew, your favorite site, everyone's favorite site. We all know what we're talking about. Award-winning, groundbreaking...
idea what you're talking about.
Pornhub.
Oh.
Pornhub.com.
So is it going to be free?
No. Maybe commercials. Maybe they'll give you 2-minute snippets, but no, it'll be part of their, like, you know, what do you pay for their actual membership. And they would just, you know, an adult version of Hulu and Amazon and all that stuff. Pornhub.
Cool. So I can completely... ignore it on Pornhub the same way I completely ignored it on HBO.
Just like everyone else. Yeah. But Pornhub thinks there's an audience for it, enough to pay for it.
I'm sure somebody will. I mean, if they. Because it's Pornhub, they'll be able to ramp it up a bit.
Yes.
So.
They'll just set it up like Taxi Cab Confessions. Like, no, we'll actually. It's just like. Old Bang Bros style, like, fake all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. People will pay for that.
So there we go. If you like that stuff,
and you're disappointed... If you're into voyeurism.
That's all that is. Real sex is more of an exploration of...
the weirdness.
Of the weirdness of sex in the world. I had once seen on the TV through Chicago, and you know, one time on the Real Sex, I think it was like Real Sex 20 something. Mm-hmm. I can't count much past 12. The Macbeth in the Buff.
Yeah.
You ever see that Macbeth in the Buff there where they're like,
it was here.
Bubble, bubble, toilet trouble, look at my titties, look at my bubble.
It was around here, apparently. It was right being done somewhere.
It was right over here in the Club Alone.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Chris.
I saw the Macbeths in the butts. Yeah. I saw the Macbeths in the butts.
Macbeths in the butts.
Drew, I saw the Macbeths in the butts. One time I went and saw Macbeths in the butts. And
Chris, I'm pretty sure I saw something on the Red Light District in Amsterdam on the Real Sex. And hey, guess what?
Oh, why don't you tell us about your trips to the Red Light District, you Chicago?
They were awesome.
Why don't you give us more details?
Prostitutes are awesome. Great.
Well, why what's somebody so great about prostitutes?
They're very attractive. They are guaranteed clean. And it's rather inexpensive.
Rather inexpensive. Man, I got a little more Texan. Listen, let me tell you. What was I talking about? I'm really trying to keep it.
Would you like to talk about your Red Light experiences in Amsterdam, Chris?
Man, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. There was an Asian, and there was a Blasian. No Haitians.
No.
Plenty of Caucasians.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when we went?
Yes.
And we... Oh, okay, good. That's just checking.
What? Do you want to talk about the drunk football team? That was hilarious.
The drunk football team was great. Yeah, that was great.
the drunk soccer hooligans were... Well, it was a team of soccer players, there were but a yeah. Team. There were that a team. Was, that was...
They could have been a rugby team, actually.
But that was pretty fantastic.
No, I remember these very the Asian businessmen? Japanese businessmen.
Yes, but I say the Asian businessmen. Oh, I'm stumbling.
Are you all
yes.
Mickey Rooney in costume?
Yes, they are.
Breakfast at Tiffany's?
It was strange, but yes, they were.
Whoa, so wild. As high as possible.
Higher than giraffe pussy.
And still, like, I remember it's not there.
Yeah.
The bar, that was named Otago.
Oh, yeah, the metal bar. It's like a that was weird. Like
the metal bar.
Wait a minute, there's a metal bar? Yeah, we
gotta stop here and
no,
drink.
I'm pretty sure...
We gotta stop here and drink giant beers.
I'm pretty sure you and me, we were just like, you know what? No, this is our kind of spot.
All three of us. Like, this is it, we're stopping. We're going in here, we're getting giant beers. And it was like 5 in the afternoon, giant beers. And this is how we're starting, and... to be in our mid-20s again.
Yeah.
I can't do that now. I don't think I could do that
now. Oh, no. After the giant beer, I would take a nap.
Oh, those are big beers. Heinies. Big ol' Heinies. Oh. And then big ol' Heinies.
And then big ol' Heinies.
Oh, some little Heinies.
Whatever you know, they're not that.
It gets bad, man. Yeah. Some of those narrow alleys.
Yeah, some of those narrow out. Yeah.
The
cradle
window,
of filth.
The cheap windows. Oh, that's just... No, that's a tourist trap. That one, the thin alley. That's like a feature.
It is.
That's a feature attraction.
It is really tight in there, though. Like, it is almost unnervingly like, oh my god, there are prostitutes everywhere.
Yeah, if you stand right in the middle and you reach out with both arms, you're touching the walls on both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at least 5'10", 5'9". You gotta be at least 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, more like 5'5".
No.
Yeah. Dude, it's like this. Literally.
No, it's not that close.
Yeah.
Because people have to walk back and forth on both sides. I remember my arm was being out further.
I don't.
But I definitely... I mean, we're fucked up. What are you talking about? We imagine the whole thing. We're both just sleeping.
I was on drugs.
We never left the hotel.
Legal drugs, though.
We checked
legal
in.
Drugs. They were legal.
Legal schmeagle. Legal beagles. We were a bunch of legal eagles.
Mm-hmm.
On those
Everything we're talking about was completely legal.
It's all on the up and up. What are we talking about? Everything that we're talking about is fake. This is all for the show. Nothing is real. This is all, I'm making all this up.
Yeah. Crespo Punk 2077.
I like that. That'd be a good t-shirt.
Gotta work it out. Have you seen... Well, I mean, when you watch that thing, you'll see the Cyberpunk logo. It looks pretty cool.
Well, then work on one. How's the other one coming along?
I mean, I haven't done the Crespo Hundo.
Get it needed by about this. What? Oh, the Crespo Hundo one?
I still have to do that. I have 30 days to do that.
Oh, yeah, because of the... if I need to throw you a couple bucks, I can make it.
I'm kind of sick of doing it, man. Oh, in all reality. That's
fair, too. Yeah, you talk about that as well.
No.
Sure. That's fair. No. That's fair.
No.
That's cool. All right, listen. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do that.
Okay. That is very important.
This is very important.
That is. That's some important shit.
No, we were talking about something else though. I swear to God. And then I went on. Oh, I got your pumpkin thing.
You did. And that started. That derailed the entire.
And I derailed myself. I totally derailed myself. Yeah. I did it to myself. What are you gonna do?
What were we talking about? People, email the show cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Let us know what we forgot.
Goddamn people. Are you even listening? Who are you that are still listening? Why are you listening? This is trash, and you know it. Now you're just hanging out with us.
While Chris does dance.
Hey! I didn't say that. Is that what I said? Did I specify?
You did. You just specified. Oh, okay. You said, hey, I'm going to do it. That I can remember. I mean, my memory's not that completely shot.
Okay, so I did.
You said, hey, I'm going to do dance.
So I called into the Swervy Jones show.
Swervy Jones?
On the Sweat Hey Hones show.
Swervy Jones?
Hey Hones. I called into their show to leave a voicemail. Because they do it all the time. They put out there. Leave us a voicemail. And you know what I noticed too, which is really funny, for at least a few weeks in a row, people who leave voicemails on the Swervy Jones show are people who host their own shows. It's like, man,
seriously?
Yeah, it's like, oh, you guys, we all have our own shows. Why are we bothering this guy? But then meanwhile, he's asking for voicemails. He wants content, you know? So I kind of understand. I feel like I'm helping.
It's weird.
But then at the same time, it's like, we all have our own shows and we're calling another show just to hear our own voices. So...
That is strange.
I did three call-ins in a row.
Okay.
I think I did three in a row. 3 weeks in a row. And they ended each episode with each call-in. And like the first two were all really long, like 3 minutes each. And then at the end of each one, I did a dab. And it came through. I was using my headphone-like thing. So the bubble sound.
Yep.
That sound came through great. Mm-hmm. And everyone who was having big laughs, they loved it. The first time they did it, they was like, oh, they're laughing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this again just to get a good laugh out of them. And then also my voicemail. I'm not going to explain the voicemails, but then I give them a swerve on the voicemails.
You gave a swerve to Swervy?
I swerved to Swervy. I swerved to just voicemail. And then the third one, I called back, and then I think I did four. And then all of them was just about ending with the dab. And then I felt like after three or four, I felt pressured. I was like, do I do another one? How long do I keep this up? Bit on the show? Do I keep going? Do I just stop
you do
it?
Not want to be a bit on the show.
It stopped. It stopped already. I didn't call in this week. So.
Don't become a bit on.
It's over.
Do
the bit's
not
over.
Become. If
the bit's over. It's over. But what if doing that weekly like gets me a listener? A listener. Is it worth it?
No.
All I'm doing is like,
yeah, but you're
all I'm doing is calling them real quick, talking some shit for a minute, and then doing a dab.
But you're giving them free content.
I'm making their tent. But then they talk about how much they like. Oh, we love Chris Crespo, and then it's like, this is good. This is good for me. You know what I'm saying?
Is it?
It's good for us.
Doing that on Tom and Dan, yes. Doing that on Swervy Jones.
By the time this comes out, I already did the Labor Day episode of A Corporate Time. Let me see.
Now, if you can become a bit on Tom and Dan, that will definitely get you listeners.
You know, Tom did say that he was all like that thing. What that is? It's an in studio segment.
Yeah,
and I got my 9 to 5.
Well, I get you, and your post 9 to 5,
and everything else. And he's like, we'd love to have you in. Right in the very beginning when I started coming, he's like, we'd love to have you in like every 2 weeks. like twice a month. And I'm just like,
I don't have the kind of time.
I can't. I got to do it literally like once every 6 weeks is what I can do. Yeah. You know, I wish I could do it more. But anyway. I love those guys. Those are good guys. So I just did the Labor Day episode. That was a lot of fun. People can check that out on the podcast and on the internet.
The internuts.
Man, I took like, when I first got this, I took like such a fingerful.
That.
And I rubbed it all up. I was like, I was sitting in my car like, like a real junkie.
Just like real drugs, Chris. Like
you're really getting up in my gums because I really wanted to try the sublingual.
That's what people do. That's what people do with the cocaine.
But it doesn't work though. Like I did it and then I went to work and then like 3 hours later I'm sitting there like, waste. Mm. I should have just waited until I got home and then did it like I normally do instead of this bullshit. Mm. At least I got to taste it.
Mm-hmm. You should, I don't know. I don't know, Chris. I don't know what to tell you. The edibles work for me. They always have. I don't know if the sublingual would
if edibles like work that. For you, then sublingual would too. Sublingual will hit you. It'll hit you faster and go away quicker. It'll hit you a little harder, go away quicker. It's in the middle between inhalation and edibilization. Sublingualize.
Yeah, no.
Sublingualize yourself.
I'll stick to the sublingual for the hardcore narcotics.
Like what?
Like cocaine.
I want whoa.
Opiates.
Whoa.
Of sorts.
True. Whoa, buddy. Come on, man.
Well,
what the? What about those DMT vape pens?
What about them? Dude, you what? Excuse me? Fucking.
Have you seen those?
Sign me up.
Yeah, have you Where? Seen those online?
No, excuse me?
Google it right now.
Fucking Christ.
You haven't seen that? Get us some DMT vape pens and we'll do a bonus episode.
Fuck yes!
Yeah, for real.
DMT vape pen?
DMT vape pen.
Oh, man, what's wrong with you? Shopping.
Oh, I gotta get the phone away from the mic.
Sorry.
No problem. It's clear, right? I didn't make it up. I'm not crazy. Mr. Parrot shirt. Drew's wearing a shirt with a macaw. I'm wearing a shirt with flamingos. Combined, we are a couple of idiots.
I mean, it exists. If I could find, I don't know where to.
How to get it, though.
Yeah.
Dark web. Just use your dark web.
I don't have.
Sure you can.
I don't understand dark web.
You gotta have a Tor account. Use a Tor server.
I don't understand any of that.
It's encrypted.
I'm not interested in any of that.
And then you get a list of websites, and it's all like a bunch of numbers.
Like I said, I'm not interested in any of that.
And then you just gotta pick the one that's not monitored by the FBI.
I have too much to lose these days, Chris.
Oh, man. Used to be so punk rock, bro.
Yeah, I could have been at one point in time.
Used to be so cool, man.
But now
you're the man.
I didn't have anything to lose before. Now I have things to lose.
It's like that movie Thief with James Caan. He got a girlfriend, an adopted baby, and a house. And then the crime boss is like, now I'm going to hold all this shit over you. I'm going to lord it over you, motherfucker.
It works.
And now you're going to work for me. And James Caan's like, you know what? I'm going to kick my wife and my baby out of the house. I'm going to burn my house down. I'm going to burn my business down. And I'm going to go and I'm going to kill you and all your goons.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Uh-huh.
So what I'm saying is you should probably go around and kill everyone you know.
I mean, if that's the way you want to start it.
That's the way. I like it.
And that's the end of Cinema Chris Paradiso, guys. Thanks for listening.
A PFT Media production.